You may be seated. Thank you for having me. This is quite a humbling experience to be here with you while your pastor is out enjoying her sabbatical, I hope. And it's been cold. People asking me, how are you doing? I'm cold. I'm wet. It's been raining, but I'm good. I'm good. So thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure. And I am humbled by your invitation to be here. And so as I thought about today's sermon and what would be good news for you, a question came to mind. And I asked this question: what does it mean to be human? One of my professors asked that question of me when I was in seminary and when I was preparing to become a spiritual director. And I have to admit, I was naive at first. And I said, well, we're created in the image of God, and we're here to take care of the planet. Well, that sounds very simple at first glance, until we begin to think about our world history and we think about the challenges that we face in our nation and even in the broader Christian church, and particularly in our MCC denomination. We are 54 years beyond the passing of the Civil Rights Bill that was supposed to bring together black, white, brown, people of all races into the state of equal justice for housing, employment, healthcare, and education. We are 50 years beyond the creation of the MCC Fellowship of Churches, a place where we struggled for equal rights, and yet those equal rights for LGBT individuals continue. The 2015 legislation for marriage protection did not include a protection of life, liberty, and justice for our transgender and gender expansive individuals. The inequality between black, white, brown, and all people continue. We know and understand that the founding of the Christianity was supposed to bring us together under one God and one faith, helping to solve these issues of hatred and segregation because of what people believed, their destination, and who they choose to love. So we ask this question again: what does it mean to be human when a border control officer feels that it's okay to shoot and kill a man as he drives his car across the Arizona state border heading south into Mexico? This happened just this past Friday night. And what does it mean to be human when we witness so much human suffering, political turmoil, and spiritual disillusionment that rages across our cities? The truth is that some people have a lingering devotion to the past. And it feels to me like we are now reliving the past. Reverend Troy Perry's vision for MCC denomination resulted in the creation of a holy religious institution. And after 50 years, as we claim the victory of the rights and the freedoms to choose whom we love and express our worship of God with our love, I wonder sometimes, what will MCC look like in the next 50 years? When MCC says yes to inclusion, spiritual transformation, justice, and community, what are we saying yes to, really? You know, I'm thinking of the fact that MCC failed to deal directly with its racism, misogyny, transparency, and accountability. So how will we as a denomination and religious institution begin to respond to the Spirit's call? We thank Reverend Troy for his responding to the Spirit's prompting, and he did so with devotion and with courage. And we are very grateful to him for his vision. So perhaps we should take a look at the sacred stories in our readings today to help us understand how and what we must do to ensure that God's enduring love will prevail. If we call ourselves followers of Christ, then we must first look to the sacred stories to reflect on how God sees us. For God so loved the world, and Jesus, our master teacher, has already for centuries given us two basic instructions. And the answer in the text is simple. Love God with all of your heart and love your neighbor as you love yourself. These instructions are perfect reminders for us, especially during this time of Valentine's Day. And if we are intentional about courageous love, then the definition of who we love can extend beyond our immediate family. Take a look around you today in this sanctuary. Go ahead, take a look. Where is your love? Where is your love? This is a good time for us to also think about the contributions of Black Americans and Black people around the world as we celebrate Black History Month, and then reflect on the contributions of Black people throughout the year and of all other minorities as communities as well, if we really plan to be intentional about courageous justice. So imagine for a minute you're sitting in the room when Isaiah is experiencing his vision. And you encounter with Isaiah this marvelous and holy God. And you see that even after Isaiah experiences this awe of being in the presence of God, Isaiah does not feel worthy to be in such divine holiness. Isaiah says, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people with unclean lips. In other words, Isaiah believed that he lived among people who had forgotten their covenant with God. And so it was God's angelic being who goes up to Isaiah, touches his mouth with the tongues from the altar, offers cleanliness of Isaiah's guilt and shame and feelings of unworthiness. And Isaiah begins to heed to the Spirit's promptings. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go with us? And I said, here I am, send me. I felt so moved by this text that when I had my ordination service back in December of 2015, I asked them to make sure they read this text because I wanted to remember what I was committing myself to. And humbled before God, Isaiah then acts on his faith with the courage to move past his guilt and his shame. And it was the same prophet Isaiah we hear in chapter 7, verse 14, who announces that a son will be born to a young woman, and we shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Has there been a time in your life where you felt the Spirit's prompting to do what is right and to do what is just, and yet you felt unworthy or unprepared or even unloved? We're now on this fifth Sunday of Epiphany, a time in the Christian tradition where we acknowledge and lift up the appearances of Jesus on earth, and we shine the light of love. We learn about how Jesus performed healings and miracles and gathered together his disciples, and how Jesus expressed his view on what it means to be human. And for centuries, this message hasn't changed. It's still the same. Love God first with all of your heart, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Imagine now that you're in that boat with Peter, with Simon Peter, and you both experience firsthand a Jesus miracle. And you hear Peter explaining to Jesus, "We've been up all night and nothing has happened." And you begin to empathize with Peter because you know what it feels like to wait on your miracle. You know what it feels like when the bills haven't been paid and you're wondering where the money is going to come from. You know what it feels like when the doctor has given a diagnosis to somebody you love and the prognosis isn't good. And we are humbled before God. And in the midst of our labor and our suffering, we recognize that God is still present with us through it all. Through all of our troubles, God is with us. And Peter is humbled before Jesus, and he acknowledges his own failures and then lets down his net, and he watches as the nets begin to overflow with an abundance of fish. And like Isaiah, Peter feels unworthy. He feels unworthy to be in the company of Jesus, and he screams out, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." And also, like Isaiah, Peter makes the choice to listen to the Spirit's promptings, and he chooses to follow Jesus and to become one of Jesus' disciples with John and James and the rest. And as we imagine this encounter with Jesus, we ask ourselves, what does it mean to let down your net and allow God to work miracles in your life? Do you walk away carrying with you the guilt and shame of the past? Or do you humble yourself and listen for the Spirit's promptings? Jesus shows us the possibilities are vast. The miracles happen with God's help. Peter and Isaiah both experience a defining moment of spiritual transformation, the same kind of spiritual transformation that is written within the values of MCC. And if we are determined to focus on the liberation of oppressive systems of injustice, then we must ask ourselves, should we, and does this mean that we refrain from participating in the oppression of all people? To be human means that we must assume the role as caregivers of our society and of each other. And yet we must continue to honor the independence and the individualistic nature of each person's right to choose their way in the world. We must hold each other accountable for loving each person the same way that Jesus loved. I speak a lot about how the landscape of our lives have changed with each new occurrence and event in our day. And for me, when the landscape changes, that also means that our response has also got to change. We need to be able to look out at the world and look out at people with a new set of lenses and pay attention to how trauma impacts people's lives, especially the lives of people who we are in ministry with, so that we can offer the kind of healing balm of life that says to each person, you are human and we see you. In November of 2016, I facilitated a women's group right after the presidential election, and 18 women showed up. Each of these women felt traumatized by the events because they had worked so hard in their fight for equal justice and equal rights for LGBTQ community and as a whole. And some of them had been fighting to help educate people who live with HIV. But the experience was traumatizing to them. And I realized at that time that the church has a place in all of this where we must be able to offer a safe place for people to share their stories and their experiences, and to be validated in their experiences. Right after the events of Charlottesville, when the young woman was run down with a car during a protest, I facilitated a discussion with people who just wanted to talk about race relations in America, and they needed to be assured that the space that we would create for them was a place where they can come and share their stories about being growing up in America. And many of these people who attended this event were white Americans, and they needed to know that their experiences were being heard, listened to, and validated. And just recently, at Resurrection MCC, I facilitated a support group along with Reverend Marilyn Meekers for individuals who are survivors of sexual abuse. And this happened as a result of the Supreme Court hearings for Brett Kavanaugh. And these individuals felt re-traumatized by those hearings. And they needed a safe place to be able to talk about how they were being impacted in their experiences. And we could offer a place for this conversation to happen in confidence and in love. And I know that there are still people who are impacted who have yet to get the help that they need, experiencing depression and re-traumatization because of things that are going on in our world today. And as people of MCC, in what way do we embrace the changes of the landscape and respond to the promptings of the Spirit with courageous love and justice? Is it possible for us as a denomination to stand together in solidarity with black, white, and all shades and skin tones? Or are we afraid to go deep into the waters of our relationships with each other? God intervenes in people's lives through encounters with other people. Let me say that again. God intervenes in people's lives through human encounters. What will others feel when they encounter you? Will they feel afraid? Will they feel unloved? Will they feel uncared about? Or will they feel reassured of God's love? You see, very few of us are afraid of the shallow water because the risk is low and the impact is low. The deeper the water, the deeper our faith. The deeper the water, the more courage it's gonna take to be reassured that God is still present in our lives. In what way is God calling you to be more courageous and more vulnerable? Courage is the willingness to allow yourself to be vulnerable. These past few weeks have been difficult for me because I've been participating in difficult conversations at my workplace. And I realize the impact that these experiences have taken upon me physically. And I realize that, you know, there are times I'm just tired and I know how important it is to take care of myself as I take care of others. And so I've been practicing self-care, much like what your Pastor Karen is doing, practicing self-care. And so I share this with you because I want you, those of you who are in ministry with other people, to take care of yourself too. It's really important because ministry can take a toll when we forget about our own physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. When we think of people who are courageous, we often think of our first responders, we're so grateful, and our veterans, we're so thankful. And I think of a person named Frances Stringer. Frances Stringer was the wife of one of my softball coaches, and I met her when I was around age 13 or 14 when she first came into my life. And Frances was someone who cared for me. We talked on the phone often, and as I grew into my adult years, she checked in on me all the time. She even gave me advice on how to deal with difficult people and just how to navigate the landscape as the landscape would change for me. And so I always thought of Frances as my white mother because Frances treated me like I was one of her own. And in June of 2017, Frances died. And I had the honor and privilege of speaking at her memorial service. And there I realized, after listening to all the people she loved and cared about, just how much Frances loved people and how deep her faith was. When I think of courageous love and justice, I think of Francis. Because Francis was willing to take the risk and befriend me and people of all walks of life, because she knew that God cared for each of us. Courageous love and justice means standing in solidarity with people whose lives are being torn apart in their pursuit of freedom and liberty. It means validating the experiences of our transgender siblings who continue to be targeted and murdered, and especially those transgender women of color. It means being willing to acknowledge and your own mistakes. It means being willing to go to someone and say, "I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you." Courageous love and justice is recognizing the capacity of the human spirit to survive when we all work together for the good of God. We are all humans, and we're all made in the image of God. We're more alike than we're unalike. And I think of a poem by Maya Angelou, you may have heard it before, called The Human Family. It says, "I note the obvious differences in the human family. Some of us are serious, some thrive on comedy, some declare their lives are lived as true profundity, and others claim they really live the real reality. The variety of our skin tones can confuse, bemuse, delight, brown and pink and beige and purple, tan and blue alike. I've sailed upon the seven seas and stopped in every land, and I've seen the wonders of the world, not yet one common man. I know 10,000 women called Jane and Mary Jane, but I've not seen any two who were really the same. Minor mirror twins are different, although their features jibe, and lovers think quite different thoughts while lying side by side. We love and lose in China. We weep on England's moors and laugh and moan in Guyana and thrive on Spanish shores. We seek success in Finland, are born and die in Maine. In minor ways, we differ. In major, we're the same. I note the obvious differences between each sort and type, but we are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike. We are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike. We are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike." Amen.